Good morning to you all. Very, very good morning and welcome to Newport on Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. Welcome to those who are worshiping with us this morning for the first time. And welcome especially to those who have not been with us for a while and have managed to come through. This morning we have some very important personalities from Cameroon, my home country. And it's my privilege to introduce to you the Right Reverend Dr. Funke Samuel Foba, moderator of the Presbyterian Church in Cameroon. I would also like to introduce to you the Synod Clerk, what in Scotland we call the administrative clerk of the Presbyterian Church in Cameroon, the Reverend Mickey Hans Abia. The moderator will be preaching to us, and I will lead the service together with the Reverend Mickey Hans. I will now invite Reverend Mickey to do the call to worship, the psalm.
Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong, they walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees, then I will not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. We will sing from Church Hymnary number 147.
Let us pray. Almighty God, creator of all nations and peoples, we come together today as a congregation, uniting our brothers and sisters from Cameroon and Scotland under your divine presence. As we seek to understand your word through the teachings of Scripture, grant us the spirit of unity and shared purpose. Even in our diverse backgrounds, languages, and experiences, draw us closer to your heart, reminding us that in you we are one body, one spirit, united in love. Help us to understand that our true strength lies in looking beyond our differences and focusing on the shared hope and faith we have in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. Gracious Father, we confess that amidst the challenges and chaos of our world, we often lose sight of you. We allow the distractions of our age, the issues of our societies, and the pain in our hearts to divert our attention from your eternal truth. We acknowledge, Lord, that there are moments when we are guilty of looking to our own strength and understanding rather than seeking guidance from you. Forgive us for the times when we've grumbled against one another. Let bitterness to reign in our hearts or allow worldly matters to overshadow our spiritual purpose. Lord, we admit that we often get caught up in the moment, focusing on our immediate concerns rather than on the rays of faith. Forgive us for the times we have lost patience, for our hesitations, and for not always keeping our eyes fixed on the price of our salvation in you. We also confess the times when, like Adam and Eve, we have allowed distractions to divert our focus from you and led us into actions that are not aligned with your will. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Renew our spirits. Strengthen our resolve, and help us to stay focused on our Christian journey, always seeking to reflect your love, your grace, and justice in our lives. We have made our prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Good morning, children. Good morning, children. How are we today? Hello, Anna. Good morning, Anna. Good morning. Do you want to sit somewhere? Very good. How are we doing this morning? All well? Nice weather out there. It's so wonderful for all of us to be in church again this morning. And we will start our children's address with a few questions. How many of you like eating fruits? Fruits. Not everyone. What's your favorite fruit? Yes, Michelle. You like apples? Yes. Mangoes. You don't have one. You like everything? Yes. Bananas. What? Bananas. Good. Ariel. Peaches. Okay. Now let us stay with apples. Those of you who like eating apples, How many kinds of apples are there? What? Pink apples with pink skin, yes? Green apples, red apples. Good. So you have pink apples, red apples, green apples. And all of them are apples, right? So now, even though they look very differently, if you were to cut them in halves, the pink apple has a pink inside. I never knew that. Okay. I thought they were all kind of white inside with seeds. They are not. Okay. Now, we have pink apples, green apples, red apples. And even though they all look different outside, when you cut them inside, they are very similar. And I think that all apples give the same nutrients to the body. They are very healthy. And we often hear that an apple a day does what? Keeps the doctors away. We don't want to keep them out of their jobs. But if we eat more apples, we'll be less sick or ill. If you look at this congregation, or look amongst yourselves, we are not all the same. We don't look the same. But we are all children of God. We are all human beings, born. We are all God's children. We are all children of the family of God. Even though we don't look alike outwardly, all of us have the same characteristics as human beings, created in the image of God. And that is the beauty of the world. And what sustains us as people from different backgrounds who look different but are all human beings is love. And the Bible tells us that we should love one another. Today in this church, we have people who are visiting us from Cameroon. I just introduced our two guests from Cameroon. There are other people who have come from parts of Scotland and even England to worship with us this morning. We are very different in the way we look, but we are all God's children. And we should be able to celebrate this fact that even though we are different, we are one in Christ. And we do that by loving one another. So let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we give you thanks for this morning. And we thank you especially for our children. As young as they are, O Father, we know that you continue to inspire them and to teach them the way of life, and especially the way of the faith in Christ Jesus. We thank you for the lesson of diversity, and we thank you especially for unity in diversity. Continue, O Father, to help us to love one another and to know that all of us, we belong to you, and we belong to one another despite our differences. We ask all this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. We will sing our next hymn, Come, Children, Join and Sing.
The readings this morning are taken from the Old Testament book of Amos, Amos chapter 5. First of all, reading from verses 4 to 6, and then verses 21 to 24. This is what the Lord says to the house of Israel. Seek me and live. Do not seek Bethel. Do not go to Gilgal. Do not journey to Beersheba. For Gilgal will surely go into exile, and Bethel will be reduced to nothing. Seek the Lord and live, or he will sweep through the house of Joseph like a fire. It will devour, and Bethel will have no one to quench it. And then from verse 21 to 24. I despise your religious feasts. I cannot stand your assemblies. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps, but let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. Amen, and may God add his blessing to these readings of his holy word. Let's join together in the next hymn.
Let us pray. God, our Father in heaven,
As we, your children, have come at the foot of your cross to seek your face and your blessings from above, may it please you to bless us as we read and preach your word. That your word will send us forth as your witnesses to bear much fruit for your glory. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, I bring you very special greetings from Cameroon. Oh, by the way, I'm also an apple, just as you are. But the problem with me as an apple is that maybe my way of speaking English might not be the same as you speak English, and you might not understand my accent. But I hope that we are still apples together. So I pray that you open your ears so wide, this time your African ears and Cameroonian ears, to hear me well. I bring you very special greetings from the Presbyterian Church in Cameroon, a church which is of the Reformed tradition, like the Scottish Church here, and want to thank God that we have one of our refined pastors administering the church here in Scotland. We hope you are enjoying his services, and we pray that his being here in your midst will continue to grow the relationship and the partnership between the Presbyterian Church and the Scottish Church. We have not had any formal discussions at the headquarters of the Church of Scotland and the church back in Cameroon. We hope that this congregation will begin the conversation in that direction, and our pastor, who is also your pastor, will coordinate that for us. We have come to pray for him and to seek God's face for his life, that his work amongst you people will continue to bear much fruit for God's glory. And we have also come with the word of God from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 9. We'll read the verses 24 to 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 to 27. And there it is written, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but will do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, I want us to meditate on this passage, on the theme, stay focused. You know, if you're a runner and an athlete who is supposed to win a race, you must stay focused. Back in my country, Cameroon, we live in trying and in unpredictable moments. We're in an era of fear and uncertainty. Everywhere is unsafe, and we do not know who and where the enemy is. Cameroon, our peaceful fatherland, has been invaded by an enemy who is at the same time a compatriot. Chaos has finally visited Cameroon. For those of you who know a bit about the Cameroonian history, you will know that Cameroon had remained a peaceful land for many, 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 many years until 2016. Now in Cameroon, innocent and armless civilians are killed at random. Others are kidnapped, and our children have been denied their rights to education. Yes, there is chaos, even all over Africa. Out of Africa comes nothing but chaos. If one thinks of Africa, what readily comes to mind is distress, wars, anarchy, ruthlessness, hopelessness, refugees, hunger, disease, abject poverty, rebellion, people incapable of ruling themselves, and the list goes on and on. Yesterday, it was Angola, South Sudan, Rwanda, Sierra Leone, Somalia. Today, it is Cameroon, Ethiopia, Algeria, Nigeria, Chad, Niger, Libya, Mali, Burkina Faso, Somalia, and Mozambique. People are being displaced by wars, ethnic conflicts, and sheer greed. Towns and villages are being turned into cemeteries. And these cemeteries are mainly consisting of helpless and defenseless women and children who are the future of our continent, Africa. The flute of lamentation is blowing ceaselessly, and the farmlands now produce funeral branches instead of fruit branches to feed the hungry masses. Children and youths, the greatest asset of our continent, instead of being in the classrooms to accumulate knowledge and learn a trade to define their future in history, have become comrades in armies fighting to overthrow oppressive and tyrannic governments. In the case of Cameroon, they have been recruited to fight and assault their own mothers and fathers. And come to think of it, at this time in the history of human civilization, with all the advancement in science and technology, most African nations are still struggling to emerge out of the chains of greed and senseless wars. The paradox of the African situation is that the continent is blessed with a lot of rich natural resources, which can make a country like Japan envious of Africa. So how come that Africa is still living in hopelessness and in misery in this enlightened century? The problem is that over the years, instead of looking at our own backyards for our enemies, most of our African leaders, through well-orchestrated propaganda machinery, have succeeded in brainwashing its citizens to blame the international community, especially the so-called West, for our developmental woes. They want us to blame the slave trade for taking away our best brains and able-bodied men. They want us to blame the world economy for paying us less than we deserve for our exports. They want us to blame colonialism and neocolonialism for all our conflicts and wars. They even want us to blame the West for not making rain to fall on our crops. Most often than not, Africans tend to discuss African problems with a lot of emotions, and in so doing, turn a blind eye to the internal causes of our own problems. While acknowledging that some actions and inactions of the so-called West might have contributed to our predicaments, it is childish, I say it again, it is childish and unacceptable to continually engage in this external blame game instead of looking internally for the causes of our problems as Africans. As far as I'm concerned, Africa's public enemy, number one, is bad governance amongst our African leaders. Bad and visionless leaders who have helped to hold our economies hostage. It's not about the West. Bad and visionless leaders who have been unable to use the economic values of Africa to develop our continent. Bad and visionless leadership has to be blamed for our failure to invest in our human resources, the minds that would have produced the capital and technology for our development. It is about time we stop blaming outsiders for our problems. Our enemies are in our own backyards, and we can no longer afford the luxury of shifting blames and discussing our internal failures and laying the blames on the West. I do not care if Boko Haram or the crisis in Cameroon are funded from abroad. The truth is that our own very children, sons and daughters of Africa, have been brainwashed to turn against their own people. If our governments and our children have sophisticated weaponry, it is thanks to our hard-earned money that would have been used to give our people basic needs like farm-to-market roads, hospitals, potable drinking water, schools, and electricity. Yet, we have misused our hard-earned money to purchase arms and to use those arms against one another. We are our own enemies. We do not need the West to stop such irresponsibilities. The answer to our future development and progress as a people does not depend on the barrel of the gun, but on the realization that we need to turn our guns into plowshares. Today in Cameroon, we are facing a different kind of enemy that we have ever faced. This enemy does not hide and has no regard for human life. This is an enemy who preys on innocent and vulnerable people. This enemy is our own army that is meant to defend our sovereignty. This enemy is our own children, delivered and nurtured from the sweat of our labor. The enemy is inside the house. Such an enemy who knows every corner of the house is usually unpredictable and dangerous. But this is the enemy we are called to deal with as Africans and as Cameroonians. African Christians ought to remain focused and keep our faith in this present predicament strong. And Western Christians ought to pray for Africa and to stand by Africa, stand by Cameroon in moments like this. In the midst of all the chaos surrounding us, the Apostle Paul admonishes us to run to win in the midst of chaos and to win the race of faith in the midst of life's uncertainties. We must be focused. Because you see, there are those who call this world we live in the rat race of life. As humans, we get up, go to work, race around, and seek to gather all the riches that seem to be around us. Some people in this life are motivated by power, power over others, and power over self. To control rather than to be controlled is their heart's desire. Others seek wealth above all else, money, diamonds, precious metals, real estates. And the more wealth they have, the more satisfied they become. Others run a race for beauty to satisfy their pride. Some people run for fame, to be well known and loved. And all of these desires have one thing in common. These desires end up in a corruptible, with a corruptible crown, a crown that fades. You see, the Apostle Paul wrote his epistle to reveal the problems, pressures, and struggles of the church in Corinth. Corinth was one of the most important cities in Greece during Paul's day. Not only was it the bustling hub of the worldwide commerce, but was also known for its degraded culture and many idolatrous religions. The church in Corinth was suffering from factions, lawsuits, immorality, questionable practices, and abuse of the Lord's Supper and spiritual gifts. So Paul wrote to correct these problems and to give the Corinthians a message of hope. I equally feel that a message of hope is needed as we reflect on the issues plaguing our world. A message of hope is also needed in the first world, in Scotland, because when you look at Scotland from the eyes of a Cameroonian like me, I'll feel like you people have arrived. You're already in heaven, comparatively to Africa and Cameroon. But a message of hope is also needed in Scotland. As long as Christ is for us, nothing can be against us. Thus, the Apostle Paul used the illustration of an ancient Greece race to get his point across to the Corinthian Christians. Those of you who are familiar with sports will know that the fastest race in track and field is the 100-meter Jamaican Usain Bolt, who at the 2009 World Championship in Berlin finished the race in 9.58 seconds. In this race, and in any race, every step is crucial and every second is precious. One simple mistake can mean the difference between gold and silver. That is why one of the first things taught before competing is that you never look right or left when you are a good runner and if you are running to win a race. You are taught to look forward and to keep your focus and to keep your eyes fixed on the winning line. You are taught to keep your eyes on the prize. You know, the example of the runner is a lesson for us as we run the race of life. As I reflect on the race of life, I'm reminded of the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were dumped in the fiery pit by Nebuchadnezzar because they refused to bow down and worship a golden calf. When Nebuchadnezzar looked into the furnace, after he had thrown them in, he saw not three, but four men walking around in the fire, united and unharmed, and he said that the fourth man looked like the Son of God. As I reflect on the race of life, I'm reminded of Job, who was diseased, bankrupt, wounded, close to death, discouraged by his wife, forsaken by friends, but through all of his troubles, he kept his eyes on the prize. In his struggles, Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." As I reflect on the race of life, I'm reminded of King David, who was at his best, not sitting on his throne, wearing robes of purple and gold, but rather he was at his best when he was passing through the valley of the shadow of death. When he cried out, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." As I reflect about the race of life, I am reminded of my Savior, my Redeemer, God's only begotten Son, the second person of the Holy Trinity, who prayed best while he hung and bled on Calvary's cross for you and for me. During his time of pain and suffering, he prayed not for himself, but for those responsible for his crucifixion. And he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Jesus kept his eyes on the price. Our Savior kept his eyes on his Father in heaven. Beloved in Christ, I encourage you to run the race of faith and keep your eyes on the price. Don't get caught up in the moment. When problems come in your life, just look to Jesus. Don't look for any man or prophet to solve your problems, but look to Jesus in the race of life. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, when criticisms come, look to Jesus. Run your race and keep your eyes on the Lord. When things do not work according to the way you want, when the bills are piling up, when your purse is empty and your bank account is empty, as you run the race of life, continue to look up to Jesus. When your marriage is shaky, when you have wayward children, when things are not going the way you want, there is someone you need to turn to, and that person is Jesus Christ. Turn to Jesus and everything will work out for you. He is the master trainer, the one who can take you through training so that you run the race of life and win the crown of glory. Jesus is that man. So stay focused on him and all will be well. God bless you.
Our next hymn, 543, "Longing for Light, We Wait in Darkness."
Let us pray. Lord, as we dedicate ourselves to you, we pray for unity and strength in the body of Christ. In the spirit of dedication, we lift our voices and hearts to pray for the people of Scotland and the United Kingdom. We ask for your divine guidance and wisdom to rest upon those who lead in public and national life, including the King and Queen of Great Britain, the Prime Minister, and the First Minister of Scotland. May they lead with integrity, compassion, and commitment to justice. We also lift up the members of the Newport Ontay Church of Scotland, where we are gathered today. Bless them, Lord, in all their endeavors. May the work of the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong continue to yield abundant fruits in season and out of season for the glory of your name. Grant him your wisdom, which comes from experiences both from Cameroon and around the world, to provide steadfast ministerial leadership. We pray for the elders of this church and for all who serve in leadership positions. May they be a source of spiritual awakening in secular Scotland, shining your light during the challenges and distractions of this age. Lord, we come before you with intercession for the current affairs of our world. We are aware of the political, economic, and social turmoil, as well as the wars and strife that afflict nations of the world. We ask for your divine intervention and guidance for world leaders. May they be instruments of peace and justice, striving to bring prosperity and unity to their people. As we prepare to bid farewell to the moderator and synod clerk of the Presbyterian Church in Cameroon, we lift them up in prayer. Grant them traveling mercies as they return to their homeland. May their journey be safe and smooth, and may they continue to shepherd the flock of God under their care, providing spiritual guidance and leadership to your people in Cameroon and beyond. In gratitude, therefore, O Lord, we thank you for the service of this day, which has brought together Presbyterians from different parts of the world. We thank you for the message read and preached to us. We pray for more unity amongst Presbyterians and Christians worldwide, that we may stand together as a testimony of your love and grace. Lastly, O Lord, we lift up all those who are going through distress, sickness, or hardship. We pray for healing and comfort to be extended to them. May your love and compassion surround them in their times of need. We offer these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray and intercede for one another. Amen. May we now reaffirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived through the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, descended into hell. We'll sing the last hymn, When We Walk With the Lord.
Thank you. sisters and brothers in Christ, go forth into the world and continue to trust and obey the author and finisher of life, Jesus the Christ. And unto God's gracious mercy and protection, we commit you. We commit your families. We commit your work. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.